720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. It is Dane here with you, and on the line with us from the visionaries who brought you lobster, cologne, PBJ, perfume, or even kitten fur in honor of National Dog Week coming up. One of the hot fragrances is puppy breath. Honored to have one of the driving forces behind Demeter Fragrances. He is the CEO, Mark Krames. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much, Dane, and I really appreciate you opening with worst fragrance I ever made.
I don't know. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's so much more to it. Here's what it is you're giving people opportunities to find sort of that dream fragrance that would not normally be on the shelf or thought of in that team photo of typical things to smell. Now, for the listeners, though, that think this is like a one-off or a novelty or any of those things like the KFC Fire Log or Panda Express candles or anything like that, you have been part of some very big businesses in the fragrance world, and so it comes with a lot of experience, and I think a very unique perspective. And you look at some of the things you've done. Like the first ones were dirt, grass, tomato. What is it about that process where you said, hey, all those normal things are out there. Let's give people something different.
The company was started in 1996 when I was not with it at that time, but the concept. The perspective was to capture the beautiful smells of nature in the garden. And thus you start out with dirt and grass and tomato. And Demeter fragrances are constructed in a unique way. They're inspired by these real objects and experiences. So grass is a great example. When we make grass, I want you to experience lying down in a freshly mowed lawn like when you were a child. I want the best grass experience that you've ever had. So we have a very unique perspective in that way. And by the time I bought the company in 2002, the mission had evolved to create any fragrance you wanted, no matter how odd or unusual. And honestly, I didn't think that was the way to build a commercial company. So we changed that mission to capture fragrances inspired by wearable fragrance inspired by real objects and experiences. So today I wouldn't have developed a lobster fragrance, but I'm really happy to do a puppy's breath or a kitten's fur.
Well, and these are things that people love, but they're not necessarily front of mind as far as when you say, like, well, what are some great fragrances? I think we've just been sort of trained to think of, whether it's flowers, or it's whether some of the aromatics or maybe some of the things in food that people associate with positive smells. But that power, it is powerful, and I think is as memory inspiring as anything. People talk about a smell that they have, whether it's like fresh cut grass or something, or maybe it is a puppy's breath that really kind of takes you back. And so it's one thing to think about it and to say, like, hey, this would be great to do. It's another thing to create something. And you mentioned the word wearable, something that's real that you could use, that is like functional and practical, but that is also authentic. So how does that work? Is it different as far as, I guess, the research, development, the lab work to create some of the unique fragrances?
It is a little bit different. And you mentioned the relationship between scent and memory. That's where we live. The reason that we make so many different fragrances is because our most powerful emotional memories are driven by scent, just the way that we're built and wired. Although nobody seems to quite know why, The fact seems pretty well established. But those relationships are very personal. One of my favorite fragrances that I made was vanilla cake batter, which was inspired by my grandmother's cooking.
Nice.
Now, if your grandmother was baking cakes and burned down the house, you might have a different reaction to that fragrance.
Right.
So it's not like we're born with these innate ideas. It's not instinctual how we react to fragrance. It's learned. So we create this broad range of fragrances because your memories aren't my memories. So this is a very personal brand. It's the only one fragrance that's about you and not about the makers. Now, how we get there is a little bit unique. These fragrances have to be linear. That means they express their nature right away and they don't change over time. Really the opposite of what you expect in a designer fragrance, which has a dry down and does change over time. So we start out using a couple of different kinds of technologies. One's called headspace technology. The other one is carbon dioxide extraction. And what that allows us to do is grab the molecules that surround that smell, that actually make up that smell of that object in proportion, run it through a gas chromatographer, get a chemical fingerprint, and then try and recreate that fingerprint with materials that are approved for use on the skin to create a wearable fragrance. That gets us so far, and then it's up to me as the perfumer to take it to the next level, the level that Demeter wants to hit, where it's going to evoke the most powerful emotional reaction that we can, because it's the most accurate, best, evocative rendition of that experience or object.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Mark Krames. He's the CEO of Demeter Fragrances. And you look at all those different things that may mean some things to other people, not a cookie cutter situation, 300 fragrances. And you mentioned maybe one person's association with a certain smell may vary based on their experiences or their makeup. When it comes to perfume, a lot of times they'll say when it gets on you, it changes and takes on, it becomes personal, right? Where it takes on maybe a little bit of your own smell or smells a little bit different. I don't know that I completely buy all of that, but to some of the fragrances that you have there. So if you've put the grass fragrance on, you know, the fresh cut lawn type thing, would it smell different on me than it would maybe my wife or friends or family?
There's truth to that. Any fragrance oil is going to combine with the oils in your skin, which are going to be different from person to person. Usually that expresses itself in a way that on a small percentage of people, any given fragrance just isn't going to smell right. But for the vast majority of people, it doesn't even show up. But everyone reacts to something.
I'm trying to think if, you know, oftentimes when you've got to hone it down to some key things, whether it's market research or just your own kind of instincts that this is going to be a big seller, there's things that, you know, using kind of a film term, left on the cutting room floor, but you have things for almost everybody. And so when we come back from this break, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Mark Krames, CEO of Demeter Fragrances. We're going to talk because it's coming up to National Dog Week, a way to really kind of get in and celebrate it with this with the new Puppy's Breath fragrance. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the other things that they're working on to bring you in on the fragrance side to some current events. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. Ooh, 720 WGN, it is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. As we get closer to National Dog Week coming up, we're looking at different ways to celebrate our favorite animals and maybe reminisce about the times when they weren't so big and maybe so stinky. And on the line with us, we've got the CEO of Demeter Fragrances, the one only Mark Krames. Mark, welcome back.
Hi. Glad to be back, Dane.
When you look at some of those things that people love, we've just adopted, it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, a puppy from the shelter, part of the Clear the Shelters movement that happened back in August. And one of the things that the kids love, they love the way the puppy smells, they love the puppy's breath, they love all sorts of things about the puppy. She won't be a puppy forever, and that's a good thing when it comes to biting and going to the bathroom on the floor. But the other side of it, you know, it's nice to be able to get back and reminisce with some of those things. And as you guys are always, 300 fragrances, things like kitten fur, tomato, grass, you know, and some of the other current event ones we'll talk about, you guys are always trying to be out there to give people what it is that they need, maybe things they don't even know that they would think of or love as a fragrance. And so puppy's breath, I mean, like, I'm imagining you, Mark, in a lab coat, you've got a lot of puppies, you know, waiting patiently to be part of the the scent extraction process. And is that how you do it? How does this work?
It's a particularly complex process when we work with large organic molecules like kitten's fur or puppy's breath. When I bought Demeter in 2002, both those fragrances were being worked on. And we didn't launch kitten fur until 2016, and we only launched puppy's breath literally weeks ago. And that's simply because the complexity and the size of those molecules don't easily lend themselves to replicating with the materials that we're allowed to use on the skin. So it took a long, long, long time to get it right. And that one had more of the perfumer's art in it than the kind of technology that we use for simpler items. Now, every time I do a fragrance, we may start out with that chemical fingerprint and it gives us a direction. But to achieve what we want to achieve, what our goal is, to make it the most powerful experience of that nature, it's really more about the art and the craft.
So when it comes to this, is there an ideal? Because, okay, fresh cut grass, I don't care if you're here in Chicago, if you're in New York, if you're, it's got sort of a universal smell. People will smell that and say, yeah, that's it, or the vanilla. But puppies, you know, their breath can vary, just like if you had a scent called People's Breath. You know, not everybody's would be great. So how did you decide what's the optimum puppy? Did you pick out, like, the perfect puppy? Like, this is, you know, puppy number one. This is our target puppy breath. I mean, how did you decide? Because it could be authentic, but it might not be great.
Well, there's not a, wasn't a particular target on this one. The in terms of a dog, the target was that experience, feelings around your time with that puppy, the early times with that puppy. So this was a little more artistic than most. And in any event, whenever we do a fragrance, especially an experiential fragrance, I'm going for something that 70, 75, 80% of the people will agree, yeah, that's the thing. I'm never going to convince 100% of the people. First of all, we physically perceive scent differently. We all have different receptors and different numbers of receptors. So we don't even start out on a level playing field. So the goal for me is to get an accommodation that most people will agree to, that, yeah, that's the thing and it smells great. I'm not trying to make everybody happy with every fragrance. That brings you to the middle of the road, and our job is to make powerful statements.
It's just crazy because I'm trying to think of, like, how other people would perceive it. You know, we've all been in those situations where people say, or maybe you've said it yourself, like, oh, wow, you smell great. What are you wearing? You know, and then just like puppy's breath. I mean, is it the kind of thing that's going to, or maybe people that are allergic to dogs may smell you and think, maybe I should stay away from that person because of the authenticity of the puppy side of it. I think it's just very, very cool. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that as well. And one of the things that you've done, you mentioned in research and development, whether it was a kitten fur or the puppy's breath, been a number of years to really get it right. But you guys have also been sort of on the cutting edge and capitalizing on things that are in the moment, current events, things that people are into. When the, and I can't imagine what this would smell like, but with the zombie craze, as far as, you know, all of those television programs, apparently there was a zombie fragrance that you worked at. I can't imagine that would smell good. And then also now with hand sanitizer, this is something not that people choose to kind of wear or smell like. We're all sort of obligated, you know, for safety and health reasons, but that's really cool to be kind of thinking of ways to make that smell maybe less like hand sanitizer.
Well, the let's talk about zombies first, because that's actually your favorite topic. That's a funny story. We were contacted, I guess it's about 10 or 12 years ago now, by A&E Network when they were launching The Walking Dead. And, of course, nobody knew what The Walking Dead was going to be before they launched it. And they asked us to do a scented press kit for them.
Oh, wow.
And we put together a lot of fragrances that they could relate to the story that they were telling. I don't even remember what the fragrances were at this point.
I can think of them right now, Mark. Like, maybe, I don't know, garbage or dead animal. I don't know, right?
So then it got me thinking, after I became a fan of the show myself, and after the first season, they came out with the Dead Me app. I don't know if you recall that, but you could take a picture of yourself and turn it into a zombie.
Yep.
And we started out just as an April Fool's joke. We were going to do a social media post for a zombie fragrance. And I said to our creative director that if we're going to make a zombie fragrance, people are going to expect it to be a real fragrance. And we actually have. And I went out and I took things like dead leaves on the forest floor and earth and mushrooms, and I put together what I thought would be zombie-like but not smell awful. And it became one of our best-selling fragrances. People love the fragrance. And I wasn't going for a great fragrance. It's a, I can't really explain it, I'm always shocked at the review, at the 5-star reviews of that
place. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing, because you have to be, right, the go-to guy for that. You know, when it comes to doing special effects, or when it comes to doing movie, when it comes to whatever anyone's expertise would be, you know, you, if you want to know what's under the sea, you call Jacques Cousteau, right? So when it comes to coming up with a real, authentic, but very, you know, unique and out-of-the-box fragrance, they're going to call you and Demeter. So when it comes to go on.
Well, I'm a lot of companies who have iconic scents related to their brands have called us to ask us to develop things for marketing purposes. So a few years ago, for April Fool's, we did an Eau de Cheeto, which was really a lot of fun. We've done work for Ben & Jerry's, Jelly Belly, Hershey, Dunkin' Donuts, Play-Doh is one of our current licenses. When you have an iconic smell and you want to market it, it ends up at our doorstep.
Oh, Play-Doh. Now, for you mentioned earlier on in the universe, in our last segment, that maybe the connotations or the connections to the scent may not be as favorable from one person to another. I smell Play-Doh. I think of the kids sticking it into the carpet and it can never come out. So I don't know that I have that romantic attachment to Play-Doh, but it's still one of those iconic phrases. I can smell it right now. I'm thinking of it. So I think that is very, very cool. I know that before we get to some of the teachable moments we're going to share, is the hand sanitizer, was that something, because we've, you know, as people are making their own, that's one thing. But also too, as at every store, as you leave there, sometimes it smells just like rubbing alcohol. Sometimes it smells like chocolate. Sometimes it's really just smells like tequila. And so you wonder what that is. But when it comes to the sanitizer end of things, what was the thought process there?
Well, there were several pieces that went into the sanitizer. Not the least of which was my personal concern that people aren't going to be buying fragrance. So, you know, part of it was just about staying in business. But we have some advantages with sanitizer, so it's a business we're moving more deeply into. First of all, the problems that you mentioned are significant. Well, we're using the same alcohol we use in our perfumes. So it's both very perfume-quality alcohol and gentle on your hands. So it seemed like a logical starting point for us to jump into, especially when we saw all the funky products that were coming out. But the second thing is, I think that this is a product that we're all going to be using every day for a long time. The hand sanitizer is going to be ubiquitous like toothpaste. So you can have a pleasant experience or you can have an unpleasant experience. We voted to provide a pleasant experience. Great fragrances, the same fragrances we use in our colognes, and the same quality alcohol we use in our colognes. Mm. So it's very gentle and it smells beautiful. And our intention is to expand right now with 6 fragrances, eventually to all 300.
Wow. Okay. We'll have links to those and, of course, the Demeter site up at WGNradio.com. And you are one of those guys, not only that's supporting some of our greatest movies and National Dog Week and, you know, National Anything Week, right? Even Zombie Week and all of that. And you're one of those pay it forward guys that wants to give people sort of the tools, sort of like teach them to fish, right? And not just give them a fish. And so there are ways, as people have been, whether it's quarantine or have more time at home or even more time to explore some hobbies on the craft side, there's ways that people can, of course, safety wise, right? You're the professional, but they can make their own scents or colognes. Fill us in on that.
Well, the first thing is, in blending your own cologne or perfume, the greatest thing to remember is the worst thing that happens is you have to wash. Nothing terrible can happen here. Unless, like we did once, you try and make a cream corn fragrance, and I don't recommend that. But if you, Demeter fragrances, because of their unique nature, are what's called single note fragrances, which means they express their nature right away and don't change over time. They're linear. They are actually the building blocks that a master perfumer uses to create designer fragrances. And the dry down that you associate with the typical designer fragrance, it's changing scent over time, are the notes that are within it expressing themselves naturally at different points in time. So you can take Demeter fragrances and mix them in a bottle or layer them right on the skin and create your own signature scent with only the fragrances that you love. and we create some, we have some 10 piece, 8 and 10 and 12 piece blending sets. So you can get small samples of a number of different fragrances, and it's already been made foolproof for you if you don't want to experiment too far.
That's great. Oh my gosh. So you can create your own signature scent. I know for the ladies out there, you know, some of them, you know, feel like, oh, if they have, oh, this is, they have their own signature fragrance. They want to feel that way. And maybe it's because it, you know, whatever it is that they're wearing, maybe it's obscure or exotic or it changes on the skin. This is a way to really, really do it and then have it kind of in that jar for you. So let the listeners know we've been talking with Mark Krames. He is the CEO of Demeter Fragrances. So Mark, as we let you go, for people want to follow up, get in on some of the action, whether it's the puppy's breath or maybe kind of look through that catalog, that team photo of the 300 fragrances that you have from every kind of walk of everything out there, where can they go?
They can go to DemeterFragrance.com or they can go on Amazon.
Right,
the only place you can get everything is at Demeter, but you can get a very, very broad selection on Amazon.
It's really great stuff, and I think it's just fun. It's a fun way to get in on things and participate in a bunch of different ways and smell good, or maybe not so good, but either way, you're going to smell just like you want to. And thanks, Mark. I appreciate you jumping on the show today.
Thanks so much, Dan. I hope we get to do it again.